They are not aware of the verses. And if they go to the verses, they want to quickly understand it, check it out, and, you know, they do not go to the depth of the issues of Noble Quran, because we are talking about the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about divine words. These are not man-made.
Right.
These are not, for example, translation or a novel. These are words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why we are sometimes ignorant of the verse of Noble Quran, and we think that if it is miracle, it has to be something, for example, talking about one interesting future news.
It must be supernatural. It must be super science fiction, like spaceships and stuff like that. It must be interesting, Sheikh.
Yes.
It mustn't be boring.
You know, I want to say that even in the verse of Noble Quran, still we have something, some news about the future. According to one narration of Imam Ali, he said that Allah inna fihi ilmu ma ya'ti wal hadith anil madi. Verse of Noble Quran has some information about the future events, about the past events. Wa dawa'u da'ikum. It has some cure for your illnesses. I'm talking about the maybe spiritual illnesses. وَنَظْمُ بَيْنَكُمْ. And he's talking about the system of life, how to live, how to have, for example, different systems. I mean, political system, individual system, and anything related to this life. Whatever we need into this life, Noble Quran talks about those issues. And let me add one point. Actually, about the why Noble Quran is a miracle, it has different dimensions. One of the dimensions is about whatever demands that you have, okay? If you put it to the verse of Noble Quran, if you deliver it to the verse of Noble Quran, you can benefit some lessons, take some lessons from the verses of Noble Quran, whatever demand and needs that you have. For example, you are an expert in one field of study. You have some expertise, you have some demands, you know, the demands are different.
Right.
If you put it and if you offer it to the verse of Noble Quran, you find and you take some lessons from that. And it is miracle from the verse of Noble Quran. We have a lot of cases, for example, a physician went to the verse of Noble Quran, studied, and he benefited the most from the verse of Noble Quran. It depends on your expertise. Some politicians, they have taken and driven some lessons from the verse, some beneficial and fundamental lessons from the verses of Noble Quran. You know, it depends on your needs and on whatever, you know, requirement that you have. If you deliver it to the verses, you benefit the most from these verses of Noble Quran.
So basically, Sardi Sheikh, you come to the Quran, you have a problem, you're looking for an answer, and whatever answer you're looking for, or you require, you will find it in the Quran.
Exactly. In one narration, we have Al-Qur'anu ma'adubatullah, fata'allamu ma'adubatahu mastata'atum. Noble Quran actually is prepared food of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's kind of banquet of Allah, which foods are available. So you have to go to that and make the most from these beautiful verses of Noble Quran. Actually, we know that verses of Noble Quran has revealed for the prosperity of human being. Okay? بَصَائِرُ لِلنَّاسِ وَحُدًا وَرَحْمَةً لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. Main purpose of the verses of Noble Quran is a guidance of human being and providing prosperity both in this life and hereafter.
And because it is a guidance, and we say Islam is a timeless religion, it's universal, naturally what follows is that the Quran is also timeless and universal.
Exactly. But sometimes it has some indication to the scientific fact. I would like my dear listeners to visit, because we have many website in this regard, Quran and Science. Please check it. Many scholars, they have worked on the issue of Quran and Science. We have a lot of magazines in this regard, have done a great job in this regard. Look at the scientific fact that Noble Quran has indicated. So actually, I said that the main purpose of Noble Quran is not scientific issue, rather it's a guidance, as I mentioned, right, of human being and providing prosperity. But sometimes it has some indications to the scientific issues, and it has been proven. I do not want to go to the examples of that, but we have plenty examples of Quranic mentioning Quranic verses about the scientific
issues. Well, the creation
issues.
Of a fetus, the whole thing about the universe,
many, many
the
issues.
Solar system. You
exactly.
can find it readily available on the internet.
Yes, they can easily check and benefit the most from these beautiful verses.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Another point that we have is about the, you know, sublime teachings of the verses of Noble Quran. That's وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach us what you did not know. It means that even after maybe centuries, you cannot know that. It is not the ability of human being, within the capacity of human being, to understand many things. For example, about the beginning of creation, of course we have some theory in this regard, but it's still not proven one. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the beginning of the creation of human being, about the Genesis, about the day of judgment, about the purpose of life. These are very important and of course complicated one for the many people. About the ethical issues, we have a lot of sublime ethical issues, and you cannot believe it, my dear brother and sister, my dear audience, that how beautiful, how amazing verses we have about the sublime ethical issues and morality of the verses of Noble Quran. Nowhere else, believe it, you cannot find such issues. I wish I had time to expand on this issue.
Right.
And you know that, you know, we are living in the time of the relativism of ethics. Okay, maybe one of the most recent idea about the ethics, at least, is about the relativism of that. We are talking about, for example, some few ideas about the ethical issues, that, you know, ethics is for your individual realm of life, is only for your interaction with people.
Or as you said, it is relative. What
yes.
is bad and evil for you can be good for somebody else.
Please compare these ethical issues that we have in the day of modernity or post-modernity with sublime Quranic ethical issues. If you do some moments to have this kind of comparison, I believe that yourself you confess that the Noble Quran is a miracle, because they are incomparable. You cannot do any comparison between that, because the sublimity of the moral issues in the verse of Noble Quran, you cannot compare it with these, you know, man-made ideas about the ethical issues.
But here a question arises, dear Sheikh, because for one, the Quran is in Arabic. Two, it is in formal Arabic, which means that not everyone can just open up the holy book of the Quran and read and understand. Either you're not Arabic, or you are Arabic, and you do not have that, you do not understand everything that is said in the Quran. So, we know that there's knowledge in the Quran, but if I do not speak Arabic, I do not understand Arabic at a sufficient level, how will I then also reap the benefits of reciting the Quran?
You know that, first of all, verses of Noble Quran has been revealed into Arabic language, but this Arabic is totally different from the ordinary and formal Arabic that we have. I want to say that one of the aspects of the miracle of Noble Quran is that fasaha and balagha.
How eloquent it is.
How
exactly.
eloquent. I, you know,
We cannot describe it, but that's the problem, Sheikh.
How can I describe this issue? But in a highest level of eloquency of the Arabic literature, of course it's Arabic,
right,
but very total and very unique Arabic.
Of course, but then how, again, we go back to my question, how would somebody not Arabic also reap the benefits of this?
I know.
Because the translation is not the same at all.
Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to describe and has to reveal his verses into one language. He has to choose one language. And one of the best languages is Arabic, actually, because it has a lot of privileges comparing to other languages of that. I want to say that even if you are, for example, English-speaking people, I don't know, Turkish-speaking, any language that you can, you have, you can easily go to the verses of Noble Quran and benefit from it. Of course, you had to have minimum understanding of Arabic literature in order to benefit from that.
So okay, we're actually telling people to study Arabic first.
Exactly, because right, you need this idea to understand the language itself.
Right.
Okay.
Before, because you also said you need to have a level of expertise.
Yes.
So you need to have language and also ma'rifah, knowledge, because you cannot go in blindly and just seek knowledge.
About the level of expertise for those people who want to have unique understanding of the verse of Noble Quran.
Okay.
It was different. But if you hada bayanun linnas, this is clarification for all people, for all generations.
So everybody will find an answer regardless of
everybody, even you are, you know, the ordinary people, common people, you can benefit the most from the verse of Noble Quran from all generations. But at least you have to have minimum understanding of language.
Right.
You know, because after all, we are human being. There is no other choice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to choose one language. And the best one is the Arabic language. And easily they can go and, you know, understand the verses of Noble Quran.
So, Sheikh, one of the many questions that are often asked about the Quran, because we say it is universal, everything, all kinds of knowledge comes from the Quran. Some ask, is then everything mentioned in the Quran, is all knowledge mentioned in the Quran? Because they would say, like, 4 times 4 is not mentioned in the Quran, and that is a form of knowledge, mathematical knowledge. But do we then say that no, everything is mentioned in the Quran, or how do we go on about answering this conception?
Let me add to, before answering your question, let me add one thing to the previous one. Actually, we have a lot of translations of the verse of Noble Quran provided. In any language that you imagine, you can have the translation. I know that translation is not the best choice, but at least you can have some minimum understanding of this issue.
In short, dear Sheikh, this is the aspect of the Quran that we cannot do the decipher or understand, but only an infallible source or an expert authority may
Some of the levels of the Noble Quran, some butun, okay, layers of Noble Quran, maybe we are not, you know, capable of understanding that. But after all, all people can benefit from the appearance of the verses of Noble Quran. And of course, we have translation provided for those people.
Dear Sheikh, I would love to continue this discussion, but we are unfortunately out of time.
I thank the dear Sheikh for joining us today and sharing with us his knowledge.
My pleasure.
And I also thank you, the dear listeners, for tuning in. Until next time, fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Aliyin وحسين وحسان إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسان لعلي وحسين وحسان كل من كان محب لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير الحزن إن في الجنة نارا من لبن إن في الجنة نارا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
Colombia is known for its tourist attractions and is full of breathtaking natural sights such as beaches, mountains, deserts, and forests. The South American nation is also one of the few places that give tourists the chance to have an encounter with whales. Every year, from July to October, domestic and foreign tourists flock to Colombia's Pacific coast to catch a glimpse of humpback whales. The large animals reach the coast after traveling thousands of kilometers from Antarctica and southern Chile. But for visitors, there are strict rules to help preserve the area and the whales. Tourists are now being welcomed for whale watching after a two-year hiatus due to the coronavirus pandemic. This is also the time when humpback whales start their reproductive process.
Robots are slowly but surely becoming part of everyday life, taking on human roles in different areas. Now, fast food restaurants can make French fries faster and better as a robot called Flippy 2 takes over the job.
When an order comes in through the restaurant system, it automatically spits out the instructions to Flippy. It takes a frozen product, fries it for the precise amount of time, and puts the finished product in the end. It does it faster, more accurately, more reliably, and happier than most humans do it.
Flippy 2 has been created in a robotic lab in California called MISO after 5 years of efforts by its developers. According to the project engineers, a really good understanding of the food science is needed to make sure the food quality is there, how different food sticks together, and how the temperature and heat affect it. The MISO CEO says the machine can cook several meals with different recipes simultaneously, removing the need for catering staff.
This technology utilizes a whole bunch of computer vision. There's cameras throughout the system, including right here we have these food identification cameras. The cameras not only guide the robot and tell it exactly where it is in space and how to move through this area, but also identifies the food type and it knows the recipe for each one.
The MISO CEO says tasks like the fry station are the kind that humans are most happy to offload. The name Flippy comes from the original machine designed to flip burgers, which was not very useful for restaurants. A celebrated Chinese artist integrates his life experiences and the beauty of his homeland using his own distinctive style of traditional painting. Chen Jialing is known for his Chinese ink paintings. Chen brings to life the imaginative richness and culture through his depictions of landscape with every brush of color. He is most famous for breaking traditional painting techniques while staying within the framework of the art form. Chen says one of his favorite subjects is the Jianggong Mountains, especially during certain hours when the sunlight offers its own visual delights.
The composition of this painting is based on the main peak of the Jianggong Mountains, because the main peak is the most majestic and imposing, especially at noon. The sun shines on the trees, forming a contour light involving trees and the large mountains, which is extremely beautiful.
The 85-year-old artist has also used fused traditional landscape painting with modern technology. though Chen has participated in numerous art exhibitions, but he says his first solo exhibit was held in his 70s, and that's when his career really took off. Chen says he plans to paint as much of his homeland's stunning scenery as possible during his lifetime.
Freedom is an essential virtue that is valued not only by humans but animals as well, just like two eagle owls that have been released into the wild after being born in a Madrid zoo. The two owl twins were freed after months of training to survive in the nature. First, they were taken to a big aviary to develop the necessary skills, including those for hunting prey. The aviary is designed to have a similar environment to the local mountain range. Meantime, they need to gain muscle and come to a suitable weight. After passing various skill tests, the owls are released as part of Madrid Zoo's breeding program of night birds of prey. 7 eagle owls and 11 barn owls have been released since the program was launched in 2017. However, some of them flew back seeking shelter as they failed to adapt to the nature.
On the outskirts of China's metropolis, Shanghai, a tiny island has been dubbed Cat Island as it provides shelter for stray animals. Since it opened last month, a charity based on the island is taking in cats mainly brought from Shanghai residents. These small carnivorous mammals are neutered and evaluated, and those with good temper and health are allowed to roam free on the island. The city's Stray Cats Management Center says their trap-neuter-release policy is to protect stray cats, limits their population, and maintain ecological balance. However, Shanghai has an estimated 200 stray cats per square kilometer, which means other methods will be needed to control the urban population, stray cats.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A pair of baby panda twins make their debut appearance at the Chongqing Zoo in southwest China, with visitors flocking to cherish the abundance of cuteness.
Our returnee panda, Ershan, gave birth to the twin brother and sister on July 22nd this year. Currently, the elder brother weighs 4.3 grams and the younger sister weighs 0.6 grams. They're in good condition at present.
The twins' first public appearance was on Saturday, the first day of the week-long National Day holidays. During this week, the pair of giant panda cubs will be on display in the nursery of the panda house of the zoo. Their mother, Ershan, once lived in Canada as a goodwill envoy, but returned to her homeland in 2020. This was Ershan's second delivery of twins. A total of 21 pandas currently live in the Chongqing Zoo, which has been breeding giant pandas since the 1960s. The evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The four-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured three major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture and manufacturing. An aircraft powered by electricity may still be some way off, but one of its types is already here thanks to a whole range of innovative solutions being developed by aviation firms. American company Aviation Aircraft has debuted its all-electric plane in Washington state. The aircraft, named Alice, took off the runway at Grand County International Airport and flew for 8 minutes. It reached an altitude of 3,500 feet before touching down the ground. According to the company, the aircraft produces no carbon emissions, significantly reduces noise, and costs a fraction to operate compared to usual light jets. The company says it continues to develop and tweak the plane's battery system for an hour flight.
We're targeting a design criteria of 35 minutes for a charge. And so that'll be a charge for the typical route length. It's actually, as I just said, it's actually a design point. So going back to the comment I made earlier about designing batteries for aircraft, it's one of the considerations is how quickly do we want it to charge? How much power do you want to be able to draw from it? So again, we're targeting call it 30 minutes of charge for an hour of flight time, or about 2C if you're...
The company aims to find its way into the market for trips that sit between 150 and 250 miles, a range that features aircraft similar in size to Alice. It will also be for both commuter and cargo flights. For aircraft manufacturers, this paradigm shift is driving fuel savings in flight and on the ground, reducing carbon footprints and NOx emissions, while also improving reliability and cutting maintenance costs. Many people of the world are supported almost completely by animals because they live in areas unsuitable for animal husbandry. But these days, even some city dwellers are making their living out of animals, like a Virginia girl. Andrea Diaz quit her job at a restaurant and started to rent her pet alpacas to cheer up steer crazy Americans during the pandemic. Since the launch of her business in 2020, it has expanded from 2 to 14 alpacas. Interestingly, 5 with fluffy pets are regularly making a paid appearance at birthdays, weddings, restaurants, and offices. She charges a starting price of $95 per hour. Diaz says the best part is when there are kids' birthday parties, but even it's really a fun for the adults. She calls alpacas a good exposure because they attract people.
In most of its habitats, the heavily trafficked pangolin faces the biggest threat from humans. But in Taiwan, these gentle creatures are exposed to quite a different danger, feral dogs. In the island, a government policy has led to a surge in the population of feral dogs. The pangolins share most of their roaming area with the stray animals. Plus, these scaly animals cannot move as fast as their attackers. When faced with danger, pangolins curl themselves into a ball shape. But the tail still remains at the most outer side, and that's where the dogs hit them hard.
Ecuador's Galapagos National Park is testing different coral replanting methods in an effort to restore fragile underwater ecosystems around local islands.
These corals are important because they are recyclers in the ocean. They convert all the CO2 into oxygen. These corals are important because they are refuges, nurseries, and nursery areas for some fish species.
Coral reef die-offs affect the marine food supply chains and are considered a major climate tipping point. The experimental project is run by park rangers and volunteers in a bay on Santa Cruz Island. Since 2020, they have tested how corals reproduce when they are placed on surfaces like bricks, cement, or tied together and strung on metal frames. They're growing samples in a nursery before adding them to bay. The rangers are reporting improvements with the appearance of new fish near the replanted corals.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station. Youth Station.
Islamite, Allah my Lord, His word Quran, His word Quran, Muhammad Prophet, Muhammad Prophet, praise be upon, praise be upon, I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Welcome back to a new episode of your very favorite program, Youth Station. Well, this is Asma, and here with me, I have Bito.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm really honored to be here today at your service.
How are you, Bito?
I'm doing well, thank you very much.
Yeah, just moving.
How about you?
Yeah, it's just fine. Well, it's living, and we have to go on.
Yeah, I know that.
So, what are we going to talk about today?
We have a really hot topic today that, you know, I'm really interested in that sort of things. And our topic is, young people or old people know better about life?
Oh, it's a longer story.
Yeah, it's the same old long story.
Yeah. But I think nowadays we could say that even young people can know as much as old people.
You know, I'm talking about ability or something right now. The thing is, about our today topic, there is something that really bothers me, and it's generalization. You know, I hate generalization about anything.
And
when
you
divide, for example, people by kind of special matter like age, like, I don't know, appearance, everything, the color or anything, it really bothers me. I don't know why.
It is, because it is bothering.
You know, it's annoying. Actually, I don't like to say that you can divide people by their age. By number, for example, I'm 18 years old, but by experience, by the, you know, level of intellect that I have, by the level of education I have, it cannot actually be determined about my age, you know what?
Yeah, I know what you mean. But you know what, Bita? We should not say that age does not matter, because it really does.
No, I'm not telling you that age doesn't matter. I'm telling you that that we are talking about, what is it?
See, the difference between the old generation and the younger generation, that's what we're talking about.
I understand it, but, you know, there are some people that in appearance or in the number, they are younger than other people.
Yeah, but definitely.
Deep in, you know, themselves, they are really old.
Yeah,
and
of course.
When you talk to them, you understand it.
And we have plenty much of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
The old youngs.
You know? I know what you mean, but still, age has got something to say.
I know.
See, there are plenty much of people, I do believe in what you say. There are many people who are, they're 20, they feel as an old person who's 60, but they're 20. Still, they have the same knowledge, they have the same experience and perspective about life. But also, we have older people who do not know much of things.
I know that.
You know? And it happens. And recently, I just came to think that maybe even the youngsters could help you and consult you in many things, just as the elder one.
Exactly.
You know?
Because, you know, the diversity that exists in themselves, in their lives, is so different in a way that you can just trust them. And you can ask them, and you will face new answers.
Yeah.
And this is somehow interesting. And we have social life today. You have kind of a special social life with medias, with, I don't know, virtual area or something like that, that will change the way you live. You know what? We live faster and faster in generations.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, this will help you grow older faster. You know
exactly,
what I mean?
Yeah.
For example, in old days, you know, there weren't that much news or everything that you can be aware of the world
Nothing
around you.
Nothing was much available. You know, for
exactly.
a certain information, you had to go through too much of books and libraries and so many things. And it did take too much of time.
And another thing is that you just experience things faster and faster.
Yeah,
because you have access to many things in social media, in everything, and you are contacting more people than the old generation.
Yeah, yeah, this interaction would give you so much of
knowledge.
So what do you say about a very short break?
I do agree with that one.
Dear listeners, you're listening to Youth Station. So let's go for a short break and we'll be back in no time. Welcome back. This is Arab English Radio. We are in here in Youth Station. We're talking about age. Is it really true that the youngsters are the same as the old people in the knowledge and in their experience and the things they can tell you? Anbita is saying that there's nothing that we could generalize and we cannot just say that it's the youngsters who are better or the old people who are better in knowledge and experience.
Yeah.
And we do believe in that because, as you just said, Bita, media is changing many things.
But, you know, the thing is, even old generations are using this social media more and more.
Yeah.
And it is like there is a competition between the old generation and young generation, too, in this area that they want to know more about the world around them.
Has it ever happened to you to go for an old person for advice?
Yes, of course. You know, I don't like advices, actually. I don't know. It is about my age that I don't like to be kind of advised or something.
No, okay,
but
let's just not call it advice.
Yeah, exactly.
For consulting.
But the thing is, I had this experience. I was like, sometimes I was shocked about their knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It felt
more
like,
tangible.
Exactly.
And it's more, it has got more truth.
It was like, they were just going through all the things that I will experience in my life.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, this is the same story that Dave experienced and I will experience the same thing.
Yeah. See, and of course, you have your friends in your hand, and every time you come to have a problem, you go to them. Do you see any difference between going to an old person and going to a young person?
There is difference, because when I go to, for example, a young person for advice or something, it's like they are like me. They are at the same level of life that I am.
Yeah.
You know, it is like that they want to help me by their imagination. Not the real things.
Of course.
When I go to young people to, you know, talk about my problems or something, it feels like somehow different. There is a different atmosphere. And I'm not going to tell you that which one is better because
both of
them are useful
both
and helpful. But
advantages.
The thing is, old people are more trustful. You know, you can just trust them better.
You know, they've been there and done that.
Exactly.
So it's different to get it from a person who has already experienced it and touched it with their bones and skin. So it is different.
It is. When I have a problem, I usually go to both of these people.
Yeah, in order to have both perspectives.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
To see which one we have to trust more and more.
Not which one, both of them.
You make a balance.
A combination
between
of,
both
them
of them
is more useful.
Yeah, that's very true. And as you just said, internet has made a big change in our life. Now we have access to plenty much of information and knowledge, but if you do not disagree, I would say there's a vast ocean, but it does not have much of depth. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because we read too much of things, but we do not remember most of them.
Even it's not about remembrance. It's about the depth of the knowledge that person that wrote this article or anything that has. You know, unfortunately, today, nowadays, everybody is a doctor. Everybody is an engineer. Everybody is everything.
Because education has been available everywhere. And as I just told you,
but
the
this
access
education,
to different things.
You know, is not systematic.
Yeah.
It's something that it is. There is everywhere.
Yeah,
and
it is
the
there.
Thing we want.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be professional. And this profession is kind of being lost in nowadays.
Yeah. So one of the reasons for these youngsters to change into these experienced people who know many things is net. What could be another reason? Do you think there is still there is another reason for that?
Of course, there are many reasons that, you know,
count them for me.
Yeah, I cannot count them because they are uncountable. Like,
so?
The thing is, besides internet, which is, I think, is the most important reason of these changes, I think one of the other reasons is about the personality of young people and old people.
Which you is know, also under the effect of media.
Not that much. You know, I'm talking about the passion and energy that young people have.
So what's the difference between the passion I have right now and the passion I would have had 100 years ago?
Not 100 years ago, you weren't here. But the thing is, you are when you are passionate about something, there is a desire to do new things.
So
I'm talking about that desire.
And
exactly.
Motivation in people that they want to change. And
and this desire
more.
Sometimes persuade you to do something that you won't do. If, for example, you were talking to an old person.
Yeah.
You know what? And this is the problem, I think. When you're talking to a young person, it's like, okay, there is passion, there is love, there are many things, there are many new things that I want to take risk and do them. And this risk, unfortunately, is somehow limited by old generation.
Oh, so you're blaming the old generation
yes.
for restrictions in the borders.
I don't want to turn a blame to someone or something, but the thing is, they actually, because they had some bad experience, they're like, okay, you will experience the same thing, but maybe it's not like that. I'm a different person.
They're more cautious, you know. The more you get older, the more you want to do things while you're on alert.
I just understand them, you know.
Because you still are 18, that's why. When you grow older, when you start to turn into your 30, then you would understand that. Sometimes what older generation have done is the same thing for you. Because as I just told you, when you grow older, you start to think in a more cautious way.
I know.
You're not going to take much of risks.
Even in young generation, we have some people that, you know, they won't take risks because they're like, okay, I won't do that because I know the results. I know everything about this and I won't do that. It's somehow logical, but when you're too logical to leave.
Yeah, let me just share with you, Bita, something personal, which is very much interesting and related to this story of the older generation and the younger generation. I have a brother who's younger than me, around 10 years, he's younger than me.
Okay.
But still, when I have a problem, I go to him, and he seems to be such a great consulter. Though he's younger than me, but I feel that he has got so much of experience and knowledge to share. The perspective they have about life is actually different from the older generation. They see some angles that that has not been unfolded for the other people who are perhaps a little bit older.
It was nice, you know, because most of the time, old generation is like, okay, you're too young to consult us. You're too young to do that, to do this. We don't trust you or something. And it was really nice to hear that you trust us. You trust our generation. And
like, I'm an old generation right now.
You are.
I am the symbol of the old generation.
No, I'm not telling that, but you are different. You know, even 1 year can be a new generation.
Yeah, that's very true.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
We're just here talking to the youth about the youngsters who are technically in the same level of knowledge and experience with the older people. And we said that media has changed many things. We said that internet has brought such a drastic change into people's life that even a young boy or girl could be so much experienced as he or she is 60 or 70. Perhaps back in time, when you were 70, you had the same experience and knowledge that a person of a 20-year-old would have in modern day.
You know what? This is somehow sad, you know, when you see someone who is in a young generation or something, but he or she is in a way of life which is really difficult for her age or his age. It was a big sorrow for me. It's like they are different, you know, they're different from the world that they have to be in that. You know what I mean? I'm telling you that, for example, I'm 18 years old, but I'm thinking like a 60-year-old woman, and what is it? It's not good that much, you know, because sometimes you are really different from the atmosphere of the other people in generation.
I know what you mean, but just as we said, the much of things that happen in the world around us, the much of catastrophes that happen would make you grow faster. You know what I mean?
Yes.
The more problems you would face, the more mature you would get. Mm-hmm. That's my idea, actually. It's a personal thing. I'm not here to proclaim and announce a theory or whatever. I'm just saying my personal idea. I do believe that problems and things that happen around you, that you have to solve them, you have to face them, are the things that will make you grow faster. Mm-hmm. And you would be matured at an age that is perhaps earlier than the desired one. So I guess it's not a bad thing. It's very much good to have that much of maturity. And
I'm not telling you it's bad. It's somehow, it feels different.
But still, I think it's a good thing. Trust me, when you get older, you would understand that the experiences that you have right now and the things that you feel right now are going to come to your help at a certain age.
I trust what you're telling me because you are from old generation.
Thank you for calling me old.
You're welcome.
Okay, dear listeners, I'm no longer you. She has made me a woman with a wrinkled face. Let's say that age does not matter. And the only thing that matters is the way you look at life, your perspective, your knowledge, experience, and maturity. Thank you for staying with us. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to Islamic Upbringing. I'm your host, Zainab Askari. I have with me a very special guest, a faculty member of Al-Mustafa University and Islamic researcher in the Hafsa Ilmi of Qom, Professor Salman Naqvi. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir. Well, Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, said, a father who looks at his child with mercy and kindness, the reward of this action is as if you have freed one person. Well, Professor Nakavi, this one small action in which a father just looked at his child with kind emotion, it says a lot of things to us. It has so many rewards. And apart from rewards, it teaches us that parents do not need to be always lecturing the children for their upbringing. They have to do something emotionally. They have to do something through their actions. So today, I would want you to talk about how we can educate our children through emotions and actions.
Yes, thank you very much for this very good introduction that you just gave. Basically, when we talk about the knowledge and attitude that a parent has to have, the attitude, as I said before, is on one hand embedded in the knowledge he has or she has. The other part is the emotions.
Yeah.
And the feelings that emanate from that knowledge.
Yeah.
And that faith that we have in Allah. And as I've been saying, the child is a trust of Allah Almighty. Our relationship with the child is because of Allah.
Yeah.
Therefore, we look at to the child as a thing that we, it's ours. But it has been given to us by our Lord
Allah
Almighty.
Subhanahu wa ta'ala, true.
So our ownership is secondary to the ownership of Allah Almighty.
Yeah.
Allah Almighty owns us and our children and our property and everything that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that we do, everything which we create naturally or even anything which we create artificially, it all belongs to Allah Almighty. So that is the understanding and that is the faith that we have to have when we are dealing with children.
Yeah.
So there should be the love of Allah Almighty, which should translate into the love for ourselves. It should change into the love for things which belong to us.
Mm-hmm.
So the basis of the love of our children, the compassion and the mercy which we have for our children is a corollary, as a result of our love of Allah Almighty.
Yeah.
So this is how we should feel and how you should understand and how we should feel.
Yeah.
And our emotions should be generated with this understanding and with this faith in mind.
True.
So when we deal with our children, the love and mercy and compassion which is to be reflected in our actions,
yeah,
cannot be something of an artificial nature. It should be embedded and it should emanate from that glow and that love of Allah which is there in us.
Yeah.
That is very important.
It needs more explanation. I'll ask you that after a short break. Tell us there. Stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. I'm with Professor Nakavi, and we are discussing how parents can upbring their child through their emotions and actions. Yes, Professor Nakavi.
When we talk about love, compassion, respect, we can look at it in two ways. You go to a departmental store, or you go to, for example, a travel agency, and there are people there who are salesmen, saleswomen. They smile at you. They offer you good offers, good services.
Yeah.
But their actions and behaviors and the respect or the feelings that they want to show you may not be very natural. The purpose is for the sake of increasing
their job.
They saved their job. That's the purpose, what they're doing. They're putting on something.
Yeah.
Maybe artificially. They're forcing themselves to smile and to behave properly.
Yeah.
But that's not what we expect when we, as a Muslim human being, we don't want to do that with ourselves or with our relatives or with any human being.
We don't especially have to, we don't want to have that hypocritic nature.
It should be very natural.
Yeah.
It should be from the bottom of our hearts.
True.
The bottom of our hearts, in the innermost realms of our heart, only one thing should reside. That is the love of Allah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. True.
There cannot be anything else alongside that.
Yeah.
At that level. So how do we then explain the love for our children or the love of our parents or love of any other human being that we should have as brothers, sisters, spouses, whatever?
Okay.
We can't say that we don't have that love and compassion for other human beings.
Yeah.
But at the innermost level of our hearts and our souls, the love which is flourishing there, the love which is coming out of those innermost realms, is basically the love of Allah Almighty.
True.
So the love of anything else is an extension of that.
Okay.
It's like a fountain. Which is sprouting
from the same source,
but then it is, showering out into different parts
of the
environment, going to different places.
Yeah.
So the source of that love is one.
All right.
But then it comes out and then it falls on other different things.
Exactly.
With different intensities.
Beautiful example.
So this is very important as a human being, as a parent especially.
Yeah.
That when we interact with our children, should be with this love of Allah in the bottom of our hearts.
Yeah.
But as an extension of that, it should fall upon our children.
True.
The Holy Prophet in the Quran says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِنْكَ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. When you deal with your followers, mm-hmm. it should be with mercy.
This
mercy is the mercy of Allah that is coming out of you.
Exactly.
And is falling upon your followers. So in the same way, me as a parent should also be dealing with my children as in such a way.
In the same way. We'll discuss more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
Ya muqiya al-khayrat, ya muqiya al-khayrat.
The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah will write a reward for he who kisses his child, and Allah will bring happiness on Judgment Day to he who makes his child happy.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. I'm with Professor Nakavi. We are discussing how parents can show their love to their children through their emotions and actions. Unfortunately, Professor, we have a lot of parents who would simply beat their children in action. Like they're done with something. And then they can't bear it all. And then they just start slapping their children without just thinking the fact that the child is trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you said is the very first thing that should be kept in mind. What is your message to such parents? Well, as you said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you a fountain of love. Now you're the sources. You have to shower that love on others. And instead of showering that love, you're showering hatred and this kind of violence. So what is your message for such parents?
The important thing again is for the parents is to understand why do they behave in such a way. It seems that they're not realizing the fact that their love and hate of things is not coming from that pure source. Other things are polluting it.
Okay.
Our personal ambitions, our personal things, feelings, emotions become, they pollute that pure love that should emanate from our hearts. That's the problem with us human beings. That's the basic issue that we all have.
Yeah.
The fight, the battle which is taking place at each and every second of our lives within us, between pure and impure thoughts and feelings.
Yeah.
That's a continuous fight going on. Till we do not overcome those impurities within ourselves, whether they are in the form of